This is your co-host, Chronicles of Nav. This is the Next Play show. Unfortunately, my co-host, Lamar Willie, is going to be out this week, so you just got me. You got me for the next 45 minutes to an hour. We'll have a great show. We got a lot of great topics to get into. And so the thing is with me, I won't be cut off. But it's been a while, man. We haven't been on the airwaves for about 2 weeks now. And a lot has changed, of course, not only just in America, but in our lives in these past 2 weeks. You know, right now, it's pretty much as most of the same things has been really controlling the airways and controlling everything that we see has been this pandemic. Along with the pandemic, you know, you get an opportunity to twist in a little bit of the November 3rd election. You know, everybody must go out there and vote. Hopefully everybody participated in the 2020 census as well. But then we also got things that are trying to handle education and virtual learning and things that are still persistent still to this day. Then, you know, family things, man, a lot of things have been happening, you know, change of career pathways and the understanding of someone's worth, you know. I tell you what, man, every time we get opportunity to get here and get on these airways, I'm truly blessed, you know, blessed to be able to just get out here and kind of get some of our ideas out, some of our topics and the things that we kind of want to get out there to the world, and hopefully we can better impact people. But then also for the most part, man, just get able to spur other conversations that occur after the show. You know, a lot of people still hit me up, you know, on social media, trying to continue a conversation. And so, man, that's great for us, man. And it shows that people are listening. But then for the most part, man, people are paying attention. You know, like I always tell people, when you listen to the show, you listen to the podcast, you know, at the end of the day, man, this is really just a table where we get ready to play spades at. And before we play spades, we just want to have a real conversation. And so that's what we do here at the Next Play show, man. And for the most part, you know, what we really want to do is, man, is get down to the essence of the conversation and actually the meaning behind everything. You know, we would never say that we write about everything, but we got an opinion. And so, you know, most of the time that opinion is subjective. Everybody has a subjective opinion, so it doesn't mean it has to be right, but it's right when it comes to your perspective. So, you know, first thing we'll talk about, man, is actually things that's out in the news right now. You know, right now, the thing that's really dominating airways when it comes to being able to understand this election coming up, you know, right now, currently the president of the United States has COVID after downplaying it for a while, you know, downplaying it this whole time, at least out to the public and out to his voting base, his support base. And now that he has it, you know, one of the things that when I seen it occur, you know, everybody's trying to pick a side and say, show empathy, do you have respect, or do you go at him the same way that you go as others? You know, people always say, like Michelle Obama, when they go low, you go high. And it's tough for a lot of people to do that right now, because sometimes the president doesn't do the same thing. But nevertheless, you got to have some type of moral code about yourself. You know, it reminds me of something that my mom used to always say to me, hey, you know, you don't believe fat being greasy. You can keep bumping your head against the wall until you have to start listening. And so, you know, you never want to wish ill upon anyone, but you do hope that people begin to get it and understand, like, this is serious. You know, it's serious, especially when it comes to the impact of this election, and it means a lot. You know, a lot of different polls are going out there saying people are mostly focusing on the response to coronavirus and things that possibly could come because of it. But nevertheless, it also has a tremendous impact on the entertainment and the things that we look at and the things that we want to enjoy, right? And currently right now, the country is really, really enjoying watching football at a mass scale. And it has its impact when it comes to college football, but then also professional as well. And so when you see reports out there that games are being canceled and rescheduled because teams are finding individuals that have coronavirus, have contracted a virus, most of them become a little bit weary because now it becomes a spreader. So last week, you know, the NFL had to cancel a game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Tennessee Titans because it was a massive spread from the Titans side with individuals that contracted the coronavirus. Now, I think they were up to 15 or 16, I think 12 players and 4 to 5 staff members and coaches. And that's tough, you know, in contrast to the NBA, when NBA has pretty much no coronavirus recipients or anyone that has contracted the virus because they're inside of a bubble. They're more of a controlled atmosphere. And that's something that we were really trying to get into and talk about, you know, a few weeks back, that these NFL players are still going home to their loved ones. And their loved ones are probably out and about, and they probably have in a different interaction with people. And so without having that control environment, then it's easier for it to spread. It's easy for everyone to catch it, too. And you gotta just listen to what the CDC say. But when it comes down to the entertainment part with football, you know, now this week, you know, another prominent person in Cam Newton, the starting quarterback for the Patriots, now that game had to be postponed, and the people he was in contact with had to be, quarantined, and he has to be quarantined as well as with the family. But then there are reports out that, you know, there has been some false positives that has also been occurring. And so when it comes to the coronavirus, if athletes are getting false positives, then how many regular people, how many common folks are also receiving false positive tests? Should we be concerned that although they're paying for so much money, and this is for the entertainment part, they have so much access to these testing or to the coronavirus test that can pretty much let them know when they've contracted it or, you know, let their turnaround is a little bit quicker than the average American, you know, should we be worried or should we be, you know, actually happy that our results come in a little bit later? Our results take a little bit more time just to make sure that they get it right so we don't have false positives. At the end of the day, there is no exact, you know, rhyme or reason or no exact method to truly trying to answer this crisis. But what we can do is be preventive, right? We can find different ways to minimize contact, to minimize exposure as much as possible, and just be cautious and be wary, right? You know, I was talking to people a couple of days ago, and people had very strong opinions that athletes shouldn't have the ability, professional athletes, as well as college athletes, shouldn't have the ability to get preferential treatment when it comes to testing. And I find myself being on the fence a little bit about it, but me not being a professional athlete, I understand. And I empathize with us as common folks, but then also being a person that was an athlete and seeing a lot of people that I know that are professionals, you know, at the end of the day, we are paying for services for us to see them, for them to entertain us, right? And so I wouldn't say that they deserve it. I would say that now the president and higher ranking officials, they do deserve it. They should have access to the best, right? But then also when you look at it, it's a $1 billion business that we are being entertained by, right? When we talk about, you know, the professional athletes. And so one thing that everybody was clamoring for was to get athletics back. I mean, you know, the president was proud that he said he had a big impact on the Big Ten football coming back, you know, and that just goes to show you that athletics and entertainment is at the forefront of a lot of people's mind. Well, at least in the forefront of his. Right. But here at the Next Play, you know, what we talk a lot about is not so much being trapped down or being trapped in a space in which you're not able to grow or you just stay there, right? We always want to get to the next play. And so, or get to that next situation in which we can be more solution oriented. Well, you know, with everything going on with the coronavirus and with athletics and now with the presidential debate and et cetera, you know, one thing that we look at and we try to tell people is that don't wait until what you consider quote unquote normal or normalcy happens and then you begin to try to flourish. No, right now is a time in which you adjust and then you begin to dominate whatever field or whatever whatever your occupation or whatever your thoughts or your goals are. You dominate them right now. You don't wait, right? And the reason why I tell people you don't wait and you come up with a plan right now and you adjust to your environment is because at the end of the day, you must show some type of transferable skills or you must show that you're willing to essentially be a crisis manager, right? And be able to adjust to your environment to still be effective at what you're trying to accomplish. You know, it's not easy, and I would not tell anyone that it's easy, but what I would tell folks, and like I tell a lot of my different clients, is that when you get into this space and you understand things have been taken away from you, what can you dominate at? Like, what aspect of your company, of your business, or even just your livelihood, what can you dominate at? And you find that one thing and you dominate and you be great at that during these times. Because once you dominate and be great at one thing, you'll figure out, or you'll be able to grow into another section. And so many times we get so focused, you know, like on a previous presidential debate and how the way the aesthetics looked and some things people said, you know, or we look at athletes and we say we want to be, you know, entertained or for the most part distracted. You know, what are we doing? Are we just sitting here to be entertained? Or are we willing to learn and figure things out and figure out a way for your company, but as also for yourself individually, for you to be successful and achieve your goals? You know, similar, you know, and I wouldn't say I am religious, but I wouldn't say that I'm over the top with it, right? But it does come into play with here. You know, I'm always reminded by my pastor, Dr. Marvin T. Smith here in Saginaw at Mount Olive Baptist Church. What we talk a lot about is that, you know, because you're in Babylon, you don't have to do what Babylonians do, right? Because everybody is in an uproar and everybody is locked down and locked down, not only just physically, right? But we mean more mentally, because you locked down mentally about the virus and things that is happening. That doesn't mean that you stop. That doesn't mean that you stop growing. That doesn't mean that you're not still seeking to be the best person that you are. When you're striving to get to the next play or you're striving to be successful, one of the things you cannot do is stagnate. You can't be stagnant. You have to continue to go and develop yourself and develop whatever content or whatever product that you have to find a new avenue and find a new lane, per se, for you to still dominate. You know, a lot of times we begin to let national things or things that are on TV dictate and dictate our moves. We allow things on the outside, things that we cannot control, to control us. And one thing you always hear, you hear people say, they say, control your controllables. But one thing that I always tell people is that enable yourself to grow, right? And what I mean is, you can't just stay in a negative environment. You can't just stay in soil that's not really allowing you to prosper, right? You have to be able to either grow or get up and walk away or re-fertilize that land somewhere. And what I mean by that is that you have to be able to be innovative yourself. You have to be able to sit there, hold yourself accountable, and push yourself to the next level. And I always challenge people to say, man, challenge yourself to read more. Challenge yourself, and not just to read to be entertained, but read for understanding, right? And there's a difference. And so when you're trying to read for understanding, you're pushing your knowledge, you're pushing information, or you're receiving information that can actually broaden your horizons. You know, and sometimes I can't be naive and say that we also don't want to do things that kind of leads us to be distracted, which is good. You know, sometimes you kind of just want to get away. But nevertheless, when you find yourself getting away or being distracted more than you are growing, that's an issue. That's when you become stagnant. You always have to get to the next play, because you're always one play away from having a big play. Or you're always one play away from people to tell you to sit down, from for somebody stopping your growth, or you stopping yourself. And so that's why in this time and era, we have to be striving to be better, right? Because even with everything that's going on, even when, you know, Lord willing, we're out of this quote unquote situation, or we develop a new normal, once that occurs, then what are you willing to do, or what have you done to prepare for this moment? Right. We always say, you know, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And that is some of the things that we tell our clients on a regular basis. Those things that I tell a lot of my mentees is that don't just stop now. Don't try to be stagnant now. Continue to push yourself. Continue to open up your eyes, not only just for right now, but then also for the future. You know, and voting has a big piece to do with that. Understanding the democratic system, understanding that, you know, since you're sitting down now, you're being forced to sit down, let's add a different skill trait. You know, let's add a different skill. You know, let's build up a credential. You know, let's do some things that makes us get outside of our normal, our box, per se, that we put ourselves in, but then also allows us to not only grow physically or mentally, but then also expand when it comes to your ability to not only just create, but then the ability to actually impact others, right? And a lot of times we find ourselves willing to try to seek growth, but understanding that growth has an impact on others and it spreads out. And so if you're just willing to stay in one spot and focus on yourself, great. You'll be the best person that's grown. But if you're not willing to understand the impact that you will have on others, then ultimately, you know, you could be contributing to the negative environment, because now it becomes all about self. And I say that, and a little bit later on in the show, I may contradict myself a little bit. But when you're striving and when you're growing, understand that the environment that you're in must be conducive to your ultimate goals, or conducive for you to grow and expand. You know, it's tough for you to put a lion in a cage if that cage is too small. Would a lion adjust to the cage and be able to adapt and still try to sit down? Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's still a lion in a too small cage. And so eventually something has to break, either the lion or the cage. And anywhere it goes, that metaphor or this conversation that we have, it goes to your mind. Either your mind is going to be trapped, or you're going to be able to get up, or you are able to grow and then expand outside the normal resources of things that actually are your constraints. Right now, our constraints are real simple. You know, it's the coronavirus, it's politics as usual, but then also besides the social unrest and the racial unrest, you know, there's so many other things that hinder us from us being successful. And to be quite honest with you, we should never go back to the regular normal. We should never go back to the things that were around prior to us getting to this movement, us being able to understand what's happening in America and then be able to atone for it. But further, you know, what you'll hear from us next after we take a quick break, you know, myself, I keep saying us, I'm here by myself. But after break, when we come back, we have a really good conversation that is focused on, you know, not only just development, but then also what we call the segment that's called Double Think About It, in which we'll go over, you know, once you grow out of an environment, and why do people still try to stay in those environments? So right now I'm solo. This is Carlos McMath. This is the Next Play Show. Like we say, everybody catch a play, let's get to the next play. See you after this break. Blessed day, brother. And listen, continue to listen. Yeah, man, listen, that's powerful, man. That's a powerful word. You know, my thing about that, you know, my man Carlin, man, is that, you know, Black behavior does matter, right? And I like listening to that type of conversation, getting that type of interaction, because we first must understand or be able to identify, you know, what is quote unquote Black hate, Black behavior. You know, the behavior in which we have, and a lot of things that the caller was talking about, was mostly just about, you know, littering and not conducting ourselves the right way, not willing to follow, you know, quote unquote protocol. But in its essence, right, when you think about who we are people that are kings and queens originally, that were then stolen and then oppressed, and then finding a way to find happiness in someone else's world. So when we talk about Black behavior, we have to get back to king and queen behavior. And even if that's the case, and then I always tell this to people, everybody wasn't a king or queen. Everybody, you know, wasn't an engineer. Everybody's not a lawyer, but we can be upstanding citizens for our communities and whatever that manifests itself to be. Like I said earlier, we're not a monolith, but when you are in your community, you make sure you treat it with pride. When you're interacting with folks, you have to make sure that you're doing it from a prideful stand, because one thing that we are, right, as Black folks, is that we are extremely prideful. You know, they say in the Bible, pride comes before destruction, but nevertheless, you must have some type of sense of self, right? You gotta have a sense of self and sense of self before your environment, right? We always talk about, you know, you look good as an athlete, you look good, you play good. What's the same thing? If my environment is good, if I take care of my environment, then mentally I begin to expand out and be stronger. It's always weird, you know. I'm not too old. I'm 33, but I never understood why my grandmother would wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning And my mother, my grandmother was a missionary, and she was a mother of a church, and a Church of God in Christ, in Saginaw, New Faith Temple. But, you know, nevertheless, my grandmother will always wake up at the crack of dawn. And I'm telling you, man, we'll clean up the whole house. She'll clean her house from start to finish. I mean, listen, bruh, you know, she's in a stove cleaning. She's, you know, when I was there, wake up and clean the walls and all the stuff that quote unquote grandmothers and big mamas used to do, right? And sons still do. But I never understood why until she taught me how to develop a culture or develop an environment like I did, you know, as a basketball coach and you know, and also my legal career and everything else that I do. She always said, you know, Carlos, nobody wants to eat in a dirty kitchen, and should nobody ever cook in a dirty kitchen either, right? And so what she was trying to explain to me was, if your environment isn't clean, right? If your environment isn't welcoming, how can you sit there, right? How can you sit there and think you can grow in a negative environment? How do you think that people will respect you if your environment is still laissez-faire, if your environment isn't well-rounded, right? And I would never say, for instance, that everything that I was taught is always been right. But I can tell you one thing, that is applicable, and that goes across all socioeconomic barriers, racial barriers, you know, gender identification barriers, sexual orientation. Like if you have to understand, if you can keep your environment clean, then you're good to go. And we find different ways to talk about this. We talk about, you know, oh, I'm only vibing with the right people, only good vibes this way, or only people that's in my circle is people I trust, and et cetera, et cetera. A lot of different cliches. But we have to remember that if that environment that you are conducive in, that you are running, if that environment isn't clean, or if you ain't taking pride in it, right, then how can you expect someone else to? And so essentially what the caller was saying is that we got to do a better job of cleaning up our environment. You know, the spitting part, you know, I can't, you know, I'm a former athlete, so I can't really say, right? You know, but some things are discussed and some things are not. You know, people do what they're going to do. But it's always about, you know, having that pride of being prideful in the things that you truly love and you around. Right. And that you prioritize. So, yeah, man. But, black behavior or king behavior, queen behavior, you know, matters, man. You know, and listen, you was taught right and wrong. You know, that behavior, right, knowing right from wrong is an attribute that we do not appreciate enough. It's an attribute that we don't talk about enough. Right. But then even when I say right and wrong, remember, that's subjective. Yeah, we all can articulate and say certain things are just a no-go. Right. But then, you know, once you begin to understand that there's a counter to everything. And I always tell people, like, you can't allow social media to really dictate your environment because everything's a counter. There are trolls on social media. Those same trolls on social media are actually trolls in somebody's life as well. And so they're going to do things just to counter you, just to get you aroused, or just to get you to kind of break character, or to see how far they can take you. And then everybody has this cliche punchline, oh, I was just playing, or oh, I really wasn't serious. You know, when a person that's leading a free world does those same things, then, you know, everybody does it, but to each his own. But it kind of translates to our conversation that we want to have. You know, in a segment that we call, you know, Double Think About It. And so when we do this segment, you know, here going forward, Double Think About It, it's just taking a quote or taking an understanding. And I want us to think twice about it, what it really means. Right. And so there, I seen a quote, man, not too long ago. And it's really apropos for me and what I'm going through in my professional life. And it's like, you know, it was along the lines of stop trying to shrink yourself to fit into an environment that you're already outgrown. Right? Stop trying to shrink yourself to fit in spaces that you already outgrown. And that's more mentally than physically, right? Because when you're trying to strive and get to the next play, you understand and you know that you have to do something different. You think you maximize your ability that you may have reached or you may have plateaued, no matter your professional life, personal life, or in any relationship. Then you have to begin to question yourself and then push yourself on your why. Why should I stay? Why should I not go? Am I doing everything possible for me to be my best me? And does this environment allow me to be my best self? And so you get to a point in which you become comfortable shrinking and minimizing yourself for others rather than trying to truly grow for yourself and grow for yourself so you can have a better impact, so you can be successful. You know, I've always felt as though that there are times in which if I ever found myself trying to shrink myself to be in a space, then it's time for me to leave. And to be quite honest with you, there's a lot of people that feel that way, especially people that are that have high potential and those that feel as though they are creative enough and innovative enough that no matter what, I'm not going to fall down, I'm going to stand up, you know, no matter what is presented. Now, it's tough to do. You know, people find it tough to do because of COVID. But I tell you this, making a change or being able to hold yourself accountable and say, hey, this isn't working, it's time for a change. I can't tell you what you can and cannot do when it comes to your finances, but I can tell you what it means for a peace of mind. For myself, a peace of mind is way much valuable than just a check. Having a peace of mind don't pay the bills either. But I can tell you this, having a peace of mind or having some type of tranquility about the things that you're going through and knowing that you'll still be happy, you know, that's the true essence of you growing. Because you're not just focusing so on a dollar, you're focusing either on the impact or you're focusing on creativity or you're focusing on respect. A lot of times companies and businesses will hold you hostage when it comes to 9-to-5 because they feel as though they have things that you want, 401k, you know what I mean, to have consistent money coming in, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're seeking growth, you have to look outside those tangible things. You have to start looking at things that are intangible. Look at yourself. You got to look at ways in which you can expand out and then continue to grow and add more credentials to yourself. Add more traits to yourself to make you more of an attractive possibly employee or more of a person that truly understands who you want to be. I find a lot of people that I interact with on a regular basis, you know, clients and otherwise, that still don't know what they truly want to do at 45, 50, you know, 38, 40, you know, and it's just, it's like that because they've been always told what to do or how to think or what to learn. And then you'll be in this lane and then stay in this lane and you should be successful. Not taking into consideration that this person has so much more to give. And I will say this to anybody, especially to millennials who are striving, trying to really get their foot in the door in a profession, et cetera. Remember, when you get an opportunity to be great, you be great in that field, no matter if it's there for short term or either for long term. But you have to make sure that environment is conducive to who you are. You know, what we've learned in the past is you know, from a lot of our parents and older siblings is that, you know, you don't upset the apple cart. Once you get in an area and you find as though that it's conducive to you, you're bringing in money, just stay there because you don't want to second guess it or you don't want to lose that financial stability. But sometimes in order for you to become mentally stable, you may have to become financially unstable in order for you to truly reach your true potential. And it happens on a regular basis. The issue is that we don't talk about it enough because we are worried, right? We're worried about losing income. We're worried about what others would think of us. We're worried, and then we begin to second guess our own thought processes to making us great. We do it. And most of the time it happens because we have been led astray, hoodwinked, bamboozled, run amok, about what our true talent is. See, our talent isn't just confined to what the box or what our job title says that we are. I can speak from my own experience and others that I'm close to, you know, that job title doesn't begin to explain or describe your day in and day out interactions and relationships with people that you work with or people that you volunteer with or people that you have an impact on. it doesn't really go to the true quality of who you are and what you can become. But yet we find supervisors, bosses, and people that have went about their profession one way and think everyone should do it that way, the similar way that they are doing. Not taking it to credit or not taking it to account that this person has a different skill set, or this person kind of rose up a little bit quicker, or this person has an independent mind. And so everybody needs some type of experience. But once you begin to understand that experience has reached this peak, you have to begin to start questioning and answering your why. Why am I still here? Why do I believe this money is worth it? Why do I think this company suits me best? And ultimately, you know, do I believe I can grow to another level here, or should I begin to look at other options? So when you have to double think about it, when you're double thinking about it, make sure that you consider all things that encompass your growth, right? All things that encompass you getting to the next play. And like I said earlier, one of the best things I was taught from a close friend of mine, Dr. Angela Guy Lee, one of the best things she said to me, she's like, you know, Lowe's, at the end of the day, people can rewrite and take titles and manipulate titles as much as they want to, but no one can ever take your credentials away once you earn them. And so I would tell people, continue to strive to earn your credentials, because no matter, you're only one phrase away, or you're only one bad day away from people saying, I don't want you no more. You know, I don't want you to show up to work tomorrow. You know, your services are no longer needed. When that conversation begins to have, you have to make sure that it's not so much a backup plan, but it's more of a stabilizing plan, right, is what I say. Because if given an opportunity to leave and be able to venture off and do things that you love to do and make some type of money, then I think we all would do it. But it's the comfort and the tranquility of being in that space that we're being taken care of, for lack of a better term, or we're in a place that finances or money coming in is consistent. And so I would tell you, you know, once you get to a certain level and that level is not, and when I talk about the level, it's not the level at a job. No, it's the level of your mental and physical stability in that job, that you are well-rounded to say, hey, maybe I need to double think about this and begin to understand, am I in a tight cage? Am I lying in a dog's cage? All right. Or am I a lion in the jungle and I won't go out and see more? There's a different conversation to be had. If you locked in that cage, you got to find a way to get out. And in order for you to get out, you first got to be mentally and spiritually strong. And then everything else will come along with it. I've seen great people, great creative minds, be tied down and restricted because their supervisor or a person that they have to report to wants to limit them because they understand that they are overqualified for the position. And if given an opportunity to show their true skills, they will feel intimidated. Well, at the end of the day, all you can do is be your best self every single day. All you can do, as we say, is be epic. Understanding that every play is crucial. That means you value those small things. You value those conversations. You value those relationships that you build. Because essentially, if you're not looking at your profession more of a domestic relationship type of a feel, then you can kind of almost miss the boat. Because if you're on your job and you feel as though you're being disrespected, you feel as though that your creativity or the things that you believe you can bring to the table is not wanted, and/or marginalized and minimized, then it's time for you to rethink some things over and begin to possibly begin to have your exit plan. Remember, people will only hold those back that they are fearful of. It's just that simple. And so when you have opportunity to understand that you can get to the next level, you can take yourself to the next level and get to that ultimate next play, then that's when you find happiness in every decision that you make. And a lot of people make decisions on a regular basis that bring in six figures, seven figures at times, that ethically don't follow their moral aptitude. They just do. But at the end of the day, you kind of try to find that sweet spot of who you are and what you're trying to become. And ultimately, does it match your goals and everything that you've been taught as a person? So, you know, we'll find different ways for us to adjust and, you know, be pacified and justify why we're being held back, but not understanding that we are also complicit in us not being able to grow. Again, we know it's bad land. We know it's not conducive. We know that this company, you know, don't recognize who I am, recognize your true skills that you have, but yet in the same, you're willing to stay. So who is that on? Is it on a company that persuaded you to stay, or is it on you? Or let me ask it in this one. If you're in a bad relationship, domestic relationship with your significant other, and it's not working out, right? And for lack of a better term, it's toxic. It's a negative environment. And no one or both parties are dreading seeing each other. As a friend or a person on the outside, you would tell them, hey, you know, maybe it's time for you to go. Maybe he or she or however they identify, you know, isn't the best person for you, right? We'll tell them that. But when it comes to a job and you have a friend of yours that tells you, hey, the environment is toxic, you know, this is not a, they don't get the big picture. They're willing to hold me back or marginalize me. They don't support me, but yet they're afraid of me. When you feel that way, then as a friend, similar to, you know, the domestic relationship should tell you the same thing about your professional relationship and your professional goals. Hey, maybe you need to go ahead and make a move. You know, we laugh at a lot of different athletes and some of their vernacular that they use, but I tell you what, you know, Marshawn Lynch said it better. You got to protect your mentals, baby. You have to be able to protect your mentals. And that's on the job as well. You know, one of the things that I really want to get into, but might just wait. Well, we'll do it right now. We can continue the next week too. Is a lot of folks are extremely tired as Black and brown folks, and right now majority Black folks, on trying to address the nation and everything that's going on their job as a Black person. Because for us, we can sit up here and try to philosophize and try to use the vernacular to make everyone else feel comfortable about what's going on, and everybody can feel great about them, or companies can feel great about their depositing and them putting money towards, you know, different social injustices. But until people truly understand that your ability to keep going to those Black folks is overwhelming. See, it's one thing to marginalize that Black person or that individual on the job. Then now it's something else to pander and hypersensitize that individual that's been on that job, because the same things that we're talking about today has been happening since the beginning. And we don't want to have that conversation. And then you begin to understand, oh, well, listen, these things have been out here. Now we're just trying to come to the party. Let me tell you why most people try to come to the party now. When it comes to understanding what racial injustice is, not just social injustices, but racial injustice. People are coming to the party now, most companies are, because a lot of the new generation, I think the Generation Z and millennials, are paying close attention to what these companies are doing when it comes to different injustice, racial and social. What is their stance on LGBTQA community? What does their executive board looks like? What is their succession plans? And so now companies are coming to the party, and now they're like, hey, listen, this is our stance. This is the money we're putting towards it. Hey, we hired a diversity inclusion officer or a chief diversity officer, or our human resources pay close attention to our hiring pools and this. Yeah, great. But you're telling me this in your company 20 years. You're 20 years late. And I'm not asking for, or I'm not suggesting that there need to be a magic, you know, I don't want to say bullet, but there's not a magic pen or a magic answer to adjudicating, you know, these 20 years of you being late to the party. But what I am trying to tell you is, and those people that own businesses or what have you, is that don't go to the most quote unquote senior African-American person and tell them to figure it out just so you can pander. Don't get into a conversation with folks to try to get their ideas and then sell them and move them off as if they are yours without giving them adequate credit. This happens on a day in and day out basis on everyone's job. It's crazy that we say that outside of our profession, right? We say that, well, we've been through these things that come was happening. This white America, white America must understand what we've been going through. White America must come to the table now and give us answers and tell us how the way it'll change. But that's great talking point outside, right? To the masses. But once you get on your job and you get in that boardroom, or you have those you have those team meetings, and now you see inclusion is finally being brought up. Well, you've been at the job for 15 years, and at the end of the day, it's only been two African Americans that even worked in your area. And or there's only three out of 23 people that sit upon your executive board. Those are issues. Representation matters. So kind of went off subject a little bit, but I'll bring it back. So when it comes to double think about it, and when you are shrinking yourself to fit in an environment or fill in a box that you no longer fit in, you better make sure that when you're leaving outside of that box or leaving outside of that cage, that your next play better be your best play. And they actually, they're the company, and or even yourself. If you turn to entrepreneur, you have to make sure that all of your values align. And if they don't align, then why not? What are you doing? Why are you accepting this? See, the biggest thing is, and I won't go too far on this, but, you know, like Malcolm X said, you know, the chickens have come home to roost. And what I mean by that is, you have people, you have Black folks that are starting to understand that they are not hopeless or they're not helpless. And they are beginning to not only fight back physically, but more so mentally. But here's the thing that we can't do as Black and Brown folks. We can't become so militant that we forget that everybody ain't ready. We have to understand that for every Fred Hampton, there's a Joe Schmo that's just trying to sit in the back of the room. So we have to go along this process and educate everyone. Everyone, including ourselves. I can't tell you how many times I have to sit up and have a real conversation with guys that are on my basketball, when I was coaching, guys that are part of my basketball program about the Willie Lynch laws. Because I'd never been taught them. Now, these guys are 22 years old. And have never had this conversation. They even know who Willie Lynch was. Oh, yeah, I heard about him. one of the guys, yeah, I know Willie Lynch. Yeah, he played strong safety for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back in the day. I was like, nah, bro, that's John Lynch. That's John Lynch, not Willie Lynch. So you have to be able, we all have to understand that as much information is out there, there are also a lot of disinformation to keep us oppressed and marginalized. And so when given an opportunity to grow, remember, you know, never try to shrink yourself to fit into that box, because eventually something's got to break. Either you're confined and be locked into that box or locked into that cage, or you expand out, you break the cage, and you begin to grow even more. Growth has to be one of the standards and one of the values that we have, not only just professionally, but then also personally too. A lot of things that Big Mama and your grandmama did, some of those things may not be able to fly today. But you have to make sure that you give the correct respect to those things and still keep them part of your moral compass, but, you know, keep it at the core. So never try to shrink yourself to fit into a spot that you've already outgrown. Never think about it. Hey, listen, man, this has been a great show, if I may say so myself. You know, thank you for our caller that called in. You know, I truly appreciate the conversation. You know, listen, man, you know, hopefully we have our co-speaker back next week. But this is Carlos with Mav. This has been the Next Play Show. You can always catch us on from 6 to 7 Sunday nights here on 9:10 a.m. Superstation. As we always say, everybody catching plays, get to the next play. Until next week, we out. Holla.